And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own heads and see where it takes us. So the other morning, every morning, wake up to, not every morning, but weekdays, wake up to the news playing. And the news art, the news story, one of the heavy-hitting things that they had to cover was what happened to the American starter home. And this is not a brand new story. This story's been told a time and two before. And so I figured, why not? Let's talk about that. So I did a quick search online just to grab a screenshot, and there were five articles that were written that morning. I believe there were five. Thought that was kind of funny how all of them are. Now, it turns out that one news story originally printed it, and a whole bunch of other people reposted it word for word. I don't know who was the first, but I would give credit to the New York Times. The other articles share the same picture, share the same lines. But the question is still valid: what has happened to America's starter homes? Our rules and guidances for what we want within a home has drastically changed over the years. Way back in the day, you used to be able to order an entire home from the Sears catalog, build it by number, and rather simple, rudimentary houses get you out of the weather, keep you warm enough, simple enough. The American dream made possible. All you had to do was provide a piece of land to build this home upon. And so through the process of time and figuring out things that we've done wrong or the lack of reliability on the average individual, not everybody is a carpenter, that we wanted to make sure that homes didn't spontaneously combust and catch the entire neighborhood on fire, or during just simple windstorms, the roof didn't collapse. And so we've got all these rules and regulations for good reason, and sometimes to an excessive extent, that add to the costs. You need a specific grade of wiring. You need flame retardant drywall and all sorts of other little things. There's a structural number of studs that need to be put into the wall to make sure that everything is correctly balanced and doesn't, again, just tip over and collapse on someone. So we've built up the requirement, the extremes of just the base cost. And then we can also look at what people want these days. Everybody wants a big mansion, big giant something. There's a few people, quite a few people, that are okay with an apartment living. But in all of this society that we look at, that we've grown through, as we look at the remodel shows on TV, it's the biggest, it's the best. What was that TV show, Cribs, where everything's all extravagant? And we've got people that aren't willing on a regular basis to find something a little bit smaller than what they need. How much house or property do you really need? That's a question for each individual. How much maintenance are you willing to do? There's some people out there that are allergic to grass, and so it would be my recommendation they get a place without a yard, or at least a yard that they're going to tend to, if you can afford to pay someone else to take care of that yard. But it's also where you're willing to live. I mean, there's plenty of dirt cheap homes out in Detroit you can pick up for pennies on the dollar in comparison to Seattle, Washington. First off, it's a matter of how much is someone willing to pay. Someone wants to live in a specific area. They're willing to pay a little bit more to be able to buy such a fine piece of property, or what they're not willing to pay due to the surrounding areas. It also, in my opinion, has a level, a balance of where the jobs are. When we look at Seattle, is an easy example. We can see that there's tech jobs out there. And there's a handful that pay really gigantic sums of money. So a lot of CEOs and business heads of business out there. But middle of the road management kind of situations even still get paid a decent amount of money. And where's our manufacturing sector? The people that are willing or able to only work at a certain level of expertise. We can look at middle managers of grocery stores as making a little bit less than probably what they deserve. But there's a skill level, a return on investment, again, from the business of what that individual's worth, what the business is even able to bring in, what they're able to charge without running away the customers. Jobs that pay well enough, and even that becomes a skewed point of view. There's some jobs that pay really well, but you can't live in Seattle. And yet, if you were willing to live in Detroit, you could get a starter home, no problem. Become invested in that. We've given away so much of our manufacturing sector that these skilled jobs require such specialties. Why everybody has to go to college to be able to afford such things. They need to be able to provide that big of a benefit to get a return on their money. But a starter home doesn't always have to be a house. A house is nice. A house is fantastic. Just a place to be able to call your own. Again, if you're willing to take care of the upkeep. There's nothing wrong with renting an apartment where if the dishwasher goes, it's on the apartment manager to take care of that. Or even a rental house, the landlord will take care of that. But as nice as it would be to be able to move into your dream home, step one, starter homes can definitely be had for less if you're willing to put the work into them. Again, it becomes an issue of supply and demand, and then even regulations on whether or not you'll be allowed to move in. I've had friends in the past that thought they bought a decent piece of property with a mobile home on it, and they weren't informed that the previous tenant, previous owner, had gotten kicked out because they were cooking meth in the house. And so their mobile home had to be condemned. They weren't allowed to live there anymore. No real chance for reimbursement. I've had another friend that purchased his mobile home as an option. A much smaller return on investment than an actual home. Mobile homes being a little bit more difficult. Sometimes requiring more maintenance, but the biggest part of maintenance comes with anything that's been used or lived in. It's how well the previous people took care of it. You could have had some really nicely built homes and someone doesn't take care of it and it falls apart. And yet I'm sure you can still come across basic, simple log cabins that were built generations ago that will still stand the test of time because the family has taken care of it. But this friend moved into his mobile home and a tree had crashed through the roof before buying it. He knew the hole was there, but he bought it dirt cheap, able to fix it up so it was livable. And then he sold it to another friend that had gone through a divorce. And there was only so much money left in his pocket. There's only so much credit he had available. Can't really go out and get a couple $100,000 loan to buy a home. So he got a much cheaper loan just to be able to get this place to live. And through his time there and with his wife's help, they fixed it up and made it even better and able to sell it. So while buddy number two, his home was technically not his first home, it was a starter home. It got him to the point where he was able to sell it eventually and move and acquire another home. But he did work. He did a lot of work. And it's a point of how do you balance it out? You can pay the plumber to show up, but they're going to charge you a minimum of $75 or $100 just to come look at the problem. And then they want to charge you $75 an hour to do that job. Sometimes jobs are best left to the experts. But sometimes just a little bit of know-how and a little bit of elbow grease can get you a lot further along in the pathway of things. Another option, again, as we look for the starter home, again, where people want to live, where the jobs are, you have to look at things like condos. One of my former roommates was able to buy a condo. Granted, it's not as close to work as he'd prefer, but he's taken the steps and he's invested his time, and maybe he's not going to make $80 million on the condo sale, but it gets him into the market. The investment is started. And as long as he gets basically what he paid for it out of that when he goes to sell it, he will be in a much better off position to reinvest all of that money. When we look at rent, you're paying someone else's mortgage. And again, you're also paying someone else to keep the headaches away from you. The roof falls in, you don't have to fix it. When you own a home, the roof falls in, you have to fix it. But when you look at a condo or a townhome, there's usually an HOA, homeowners association, that helps maintain certain levels of the community property. And so as long as you're willing to play by someone else's rules, everybody gets to improve their lot. Their investment becomes a better turnaround. And again, when they sell it, they can improve, they can move on and get something bigger, maybe a little bit closer to work, or go across the country and reinvest some of that money to make it all happen. We've got the land issue as well on why homes are so expensive. I watched it happen out in Washington. You used to be able to drive around, and it's not that it was all farmland, but there was plenty of farmland out there. There still is plenty of farmland. But on a piece of land that was hundreds of acres that you could put cattle on or grow food or whatnot, just at a family level, large family production, take it all down to the grocery store, the farmer's market to be able to sell. Taxes per square acre have gone up so much that farms get priced out and people are willing to sell. And then on that hundreds of acres, you're then able to build, if it's 100 acres and you decide to build 100 one-acre lots, which are huge for the average home, it seems, in the United States right now, you could get a pretty good turnaround. But now when we look at homes that are willing to be put on half acre, third acre, quarter acre, or even smaller lots, that's a lot of houses that you can cram into that same 100 acres. Just so long as connecting up to the sewer line isn't too expensive, or you have to spend so much money just to tear down a tree because we might endanger the spotted owl. It's also difficult, let's not forget, that a lot of people have already taken out a loan the same size of that of a home just for a college degree. And so you're looking at a comparable monthly payment, I would assume, just to be able to live. Does it improve your credit? I would hope so, as long as you're making those payments on time. But that excessive debt, banks don't like looking at that. Even in the good times, they don't like looking at that. I don't know how many of us are really good savers either. I know it took me a long time to figure out how to save enough money. And it's a lot of money. Buying a home is a big investment. It's a place that you would like to be able to store your things as well as start or improve for your life to grow around, a base camp. And so at a certain point, we do have to be picky. We can't just go willy-nilly. We have to find the spot that's going to be able to support our needs, be it through the job process so we can pay our bills, the community process, the people we choose to associate with, and that it's, again, not going to come all crumbling down on us when we're not paying attention. So what has happened to the starter home? Supply and demand, choices for being able to improve our way of life. And will things be fixed overnight? Absolutely not. We have people looking into tiny homes. It's the new revolution of the mobile home. But small and simple, if we're willing to put up with it. But willing to put up with a small house on a small piece of land now increases the small plots of land, because every little small plot of land can now have a home. So where do we balance it? How do we figure it out? I'm not too sure nowadays. But I know that we're able to figure it out. And we'll find our starter home, or maybe we'll just hang out being a renter, whatever level of responsibility we want. Maybe we'll improve our stance and make it a bigger effort to find a way to squirrel away a couple extra dollars. But I'm Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter and Gab, at Billy Bones. Find me on Mastodon, No Agenda Social, at Billy Bones, at noagendasocial.com. Short, simple quips, ways that you are able to add to the conversation. I also have a website, billybones.com. Remember, that's spelt with the number 3 instead of an E. And you can go there. There's past episodes. There's links to show notes. I got a fair amount of show notes today. There's also a link to the mail, email, if you need a longer form of communication. And this is a value for value podcast. If you found value out of this episode or this entire catalog, fantastic. I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give the show a share. Maybe someone else can find that talking point, that means of communicating. Maybe, again, they figure out what they want in their starter home. But if you found that this podcast was worth monetary value, fantastic. You'll become an executive producer like today's executive producer, Lady Get Over It. She donated $10. Thank you very much for your support. Thank you for keeping the lights on and keeping me moving on this. Otherwise, I am willing to take Satoshis if you're using a podcasting 2.0. I haven't gotten any this week, but that's okay. And I'd like to give a special thank you to Hog Story, John Carolyn, for letting me use the stream, NodeBit. Thank you very much for setting the stream up for them. I'm working on the live. This was recorded live in front of a troll studio audience. And I'm aiming for the big times. I'll do a better job of announcing a live show next time. But thank you for listening. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.